It's no secret that Wisconsin loves its dairy, and today marks the start of National Dairy Month, so we want to hear from you about your favorite kinds of Wisconsin cheese, ice cream, and other dairy products. You can join in at 800-642-1234 or post on the Central Time Facebook page. Tell us how you're going to celebrate National Dairy Month.
We're joined now by Jeannie Carpenter in the studio, and she's the specialty cheese buyer for Metcalf's Markets. She's also founder of Wisconsin Cheese Originals, an organization that connects consumers and cheesemakers through classes, tours, and events. Jeannie, welcome to Central Time.
Thanks so much for having me.
So we're going to start off on this National Dairy Month by talking about dairy in Wisconsin specifically. Tell us a little bit about how Wisconsin did get to be the big dairy state, the big cheesemaker state that it is today.
Sure. Well, I think one thing that a lot of people don't realize is that we weren't always the dairy state. In the 1840s, we have to remember that Wisconsin really was the West. It was that next great virgin land for restless pioneers. So they came here mostly from New York, from the East. They cleared land, they created fields. And by 1860, believe it or not, Wisconsin produced the most wheat in the nation. We produced close to 29 million bushels. But here's something that we know now. When land is not farmed properly, nutrients aren't added back. Nitrogen escapes from the soil. So wheat crops started failing. And then we had this epic wave of the fabulous chinch bug, which we don't hear about anymore.
Wait, the chinch bug?
The chinch bug. It descended upon the Midwest. Like if you've ever read the Laura Ingalls Wilder books, that it makes a play in there. Huh. So it destroyed all the wheat, the livelihood. And the aftermath was really a period of where farmers tried to figure out what to do next.
Really? So this chinch bug came. I have to learn more about this bug. It's so interesting, but we're going to stay focused on cheese. And so farmers had to pivot. They had to find a different way to make money. And so I'm guessing they turned to cheese.
Right. So a gentleman named W.D. Hoard is largely credited with helping organize the dairy industry in Wisconsin along with the university here. He came back to Wisconsin after the Civil War. He settled in Fort Atkinson, and he began his career as a newspaperman. And anyone listening to the show that either grew up on a dairy farm or is on a dairy farm now probably gets the Hordes Dairyman. I grew up on a farm. We got it. It's a pretty legendary publication. And he was one of the authors of what would eventually become known as this Wisconsin idea of dairying. And with the university, he played a central role in educating farmers how to farm sustainably so that they would find stability and regular profits. And in the 1880s, this was a pretty radical idea to educate farmers to get them to know how the soil worked, how the forage grew, and then also what was known then and now as the husbandry of raising cows, taking care of cows so they would give really good milk.
So that was a way to standardize, to share the knowledge across Wisconsin, not just
right.
at the university. So when it comes specifically then to cheese making, what sorts of innovations did Hoard and the university come up with?
Right. So, well, Wisconsin today is still the only state in the nation that requires a Wisconsin cheesemaker's license. We take making cheese extremely seriously here. We have 1,200 licensed cheesemakers. We have 129 dairy plants. That's by far the most in any nation. We have a master cheesemaker program where you can earn your degree after 10 years of making a cheese.
10 years.
So the university here in Madison was really instrumental in setting that bar for education and information. And the bar is still very high. And that's why you see more cheese being made in Wisconsin than anywhere else to this day.
And the name Babcock, I know, crops up. I think of that as the place we go to get ice cream in the summer. But this Babcock has a long history with cheese making, too, it sounds like.
Yeah. So the university here, I mean, across the nation, is probably best known for a gentleman named Stephen Babcock. He created the butterfat test. And in order to make good cheese, the milk coming from cows has to be high in butterfat and high in protein. And before this Babcock test was developed, farmers were all paid the same for their milk because nobody could tell what the components in it were. So if you were a pretty terrible dairy farmer, you got paid the same for your milk as the really good dairy farmer up the road. And so this Babcock test helped farmers strive to become better dairy farmers to feed the cows better feed, to get better components in the milk, because the higher the butter fat, the more they got paid. And if anyone has ever grown up on a farm, you know, there's nothing that, you know, gives you motivation than to have your milk check be a little bit higher every week. And we have Stephen Babcock to thank for that.
We're talking with Jeannie Carpenter right now. She is a specialty cheese buyer for Metcalf's Markets and founder of Wisconsin Cheese Originals. And we're talking about National Dairy Month, what Wisconsin, where we came from, our cheese roots, our dairy roots here, how we got there and where we're going. And Jeannie, I want to go back to the cheese licensing program, or how you become a cheesemaker in Wisconsin. How hard is it to become a cheesemaker?
It is pretty strenuous. It is. I think some folks come into cheesemaking with this kind of romantic notion that it's going to be fun and idealistic. And in reality, it takes you between 18 months and 2 years to get your license. You have to take 5 short courses at the University of Wisconsin-Madison. You have to apprentice for an already licensed cheesemaker for 240 hours. And then you get to sit for a 2-hour written test. And if you do all that, you get a probationary license.
Wow, you just crushed my cheesemaking dreams.
You have to take it seriously, and it's a serious career choice in the state of Wisconsin.
Right. Well, this has been my backup career. I thought maybe I should just chuck it all and be a cheesemaker, but now I see it's going to be a long road if I do that. Well, you brought along some cheese for us to sample because you are the cheese maestra at Metcalf's. What did you bring?
I brought 2 cheeses, and for the listeners, I apologize, you're not going to get to taste these, but these are available. I brought 2 cheeses today that to me really demonstrate how the dairy industry in Wisconsin is growing. You know, we once were really known for commodity cheddar. You know, we made a lot of really big orange cheddar blocks, and cheesemakers are still very, very good at that, but those are fairly low profit cheeses. So what I'm interested in is helping cheesemakers develop cheeses that they can earn more money on per pound, that they can pay the dairy farmers a higher per pound, and that people like me who really like cheese get a really tasty, complex cheese. And to me, there's no better cheese that sort of encapsulates all of that except for Anabasque. And that's what I brought today. It's a sheep's milk cheese by Landmark Creamery. The cheesemakers are Anna Landmark and Anna Thomas Bates, 2 young women who have just really taken a leap of faith. They know they can make good cheese. They have good distribution. People love their cheese. I don't think they're making any money yet, but that is sort of one of my goals at Metcalf's, is to try to help young starting cheesemakers who are making really good product to get it into the hands of more consumers.
Right, and that Anabasque cheese is actually one of my favorites. It's at my farmer's market, and what I like about it is that it reminds me a little bit of Manchego, which was one of my favorites. It's a Spanish cheese, and it reminds me a little bit of that. It's got a drier texture. It's a little nutty, and it's really good just on a piece of bread or with an apple on it.
Sure. Yeah. So one of the things about specialty and artisan cheeses now is that, I mean, I grew up eating cheese and crackers. You know, you sat down and you watched the Packer game, you ate this loaf of Brick or Cheddar or Colby. And specialty and artisan cheese isn't really made to be eaten like that. It's meant to be savored a little piece at a time or cooked with. And a lot of folks complain that it's too expensive, but you don't need to eat a half a pound of this cheese to feel satisfied. You really need like 2 bites. And when a cheese is this expensive, 2 bites is really all you need to feel really good about it.
So why is this type of cheese more expensive? Is it just more labor intensive?
That's an excellent question. It's almost like I planted you as a person here. So cows give per day, they give about 6 to 10 gallons of milk. Okay, and cow's milk sells for about $15 per 100 pounds. Goats give you about 5 quarts of milk a day, and goat's milk sells for about $36 for 100 pounds. Sheep, the lovely sheep, gives you, if you're super lucky and look at it nicely, 1 to 2 quarts a day. Uh-huh. So that means sheep's milk sells for about $100 per 100 pounds. So when you are making cheese, this sheep milk is like gold. Also, these artisan cheeses are they're handmade, they're labor intensive. So when you combine expensive milk with hand labor, cheeses get a little bit pricier.
Well, we've got a caller now we're going to get to, and we're going to get to your cheddar too in a little bit. But first, let's go to Shannon in Franklin. Shannon, hi.
Hi. Hi, thanks for taking my call. I just wanted to make a comment. I was living, I'm originally from Wisconsin, then moved to Charlotte, North Carolina for 13 years. And out there, we weren't able to get the, you know, frozen custards, the squeaky cheese, all that kind of stuff. And so recently moving back, I went from a size 2 to a size 12 because of the indulgence and just the fact that I had gone so long without being able to obtain it. And following up with that, I was talking earlier, there was a major ad campaign. I was an advertising executive out there, and one of them, it was from California. And my question to you is, how come California is now claiming that they are the dairy state compared to Wisconsin? And I can take your comment off air.
All right. Thanks, Shannon. I appreciate that. And, yeah, I remember those ads with the cows. They were supposedly the happy cows living in California. And California was, you know, in danger of bumping Wisconsin. Where are we with that?
So California makes more milk than Wisconsin. And I am perfectly happy with that because the average size of the dairy farm in California is 2,000 cows. The average size of the dairy farm in Wisconsin is 129 cows. 90% of California's milk goes into fluid bottled milk. That is a very low profit product. So I'm super happy to let California be the number one milk state. Wisconsin is the number one cheese state. 90% of our milk goes into cheese. So if you, when we drink fluid milk in Wisconsin, there's actually a pretty good chance it's coming from Illinois because we are a milk deficit state when it comes to cheese. And as long as I can keep dairy farmers shipping milk to cheesemakers, they will consistently make a higher profit because, getting back to the Babcock, they are getting paid on components. They're getting paid for butterfat and protein. And that's how we've really kept this dairy industry in Wisconsin going strong.
We're starting off National Dairy Month right now with Jeannie Carpenter, founder of Wisconsin Cheese Originals, self-proclaimed cheese geek about what the dairy industry has meant to Wisconsin.
And we want to hear from you. How are you going to celebrate National Dairy Month? How has Wisconsin's dairy industry played a role in your life? Do you love cheese and ice cream? Do you want to share your favorite? Do you make cheese or ice cream or frozen custard? Call in now at 800-642-1234 or post on the Central Time Facebook page.
We're picking up our conversation with self-proclaimed cheese geek Jeannie Carpenter as we kick off National Dairy Month. And if Rob is through chewing
his cheese. Yeah, which is a bad thing to do on the radio, probably. But we're doing it anyway. We are celebrating National Dairy Month, and we want to hear how you are going to celebrate National Dairy Month. Call now at 800-642-1234. What is your favorite kind of cheese, your favorite kind of Wisconsin cheese, and are you a cheesemaker yourself? Call in now, 800-642-1234, or post on the Central Time Facebook page.
And we go to our callers. Now we've got Kenneth on the line in Janesville. Kenneth, hi.
Hello. I'm going to be celebrating Dr. Babcock because his test proved if you had water added to your milk, and that was a big factor. I mean, Wisconsin was known for the purity of its milk and its cheese in the beginning, and it built the whole university system, and that these farmers thought maybe these eggheads know something or can help us do something, and that built our whole university system.
Kenneth, thanks a lot for that. And Babcock getting the water out of the milk, apparently. Do you know that story?
Yeah. There's a great quote in a book by Ed Janis in America's Dairyland where he got this from an old-time farmer, and it says, the Babcock test was better than the Bible in keeping farmers honest. and I've always thought that was kind of interesting. You know, there's always one bad apple in the bunch, and it kind of spoils it for everybody. But Kenneth was exactly right. Once that Babcock test started recording butterfat, the folks adding water were caught.
Well, thanks a lot for that, Kenneth. Interesting story there. And Jeannie, you brought along two cheeses. We talked about one, and the second is a cheddar.
Yeah,
tell us about the cheddar.
Yeah. So of the 129 cheese plants in Wisconsin, 92 of them make cheddar, right?
Wow.
Right? So that's a lot of cheddar. One of the trends that we've seen cheesemakers doing is aging their cheddar, because aged cheddar tends to be more complex, has some more of those, you know, those pop rock crystals, those calcium lactate crystals in it. Consumers really enjoy those. And the one I brought today is even a little bit different. This is a 5-year aged cheddar from Red Barn Family Farms. And this is a group of 4 farms in the Appleton area who have banded together, and they ship their milk to Springside Cheese in Okano Falls and have Wayne and Nathan Hintz there make cheese for them, and then they market it themselves. And that's kind of another trend we're seeing is farmers grouping together, cooperating together, producing really high quality milk under a certain standard of rules, and then making cheese for themselves, kind of dictating their own future of prices.
So do they make the cheese on premises, like the cheese is made off site, where they're sort of contracting out with someone else to make the cheese.
Yep.
So these partnerships in cheese making.
Right, exactly. Yep, they're partnering with a licensed cheesemaker so that these farmers don't have to build an on-farm creamery. They're doing what they do best, which is raising cows and milking cows, and then they're partnering with a cheesemaker who does what he does best, making cheese.
Right, and that's and what brand did you say that was?
This is Red Barn Family Farms, and this is their new 5-year. At Metcalf's, we've always carried the 1 and 3 year, and the 5-year just came out this month, and it is spectacular.
It's pretty tasty. Are people liking the sharper cheddars these days?
Yes. And this one is cool too, because it's made in a wheel, the old-fashioned daisy wheel form. It's wrapped in linen and then dipped in wax. And so there's something magical about that linen and wax combination that lets the cheese breathe as it ages, and it just develops this more complex, nutty flavor.
I'm going to get back to the calls, but I have to ask, is that what's called bandage when we talk about bandage cheese?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay.
There's more and more folks making a bandage cheddar, and it's wrapping those curds in linen.
Let's go to our callers now. We've got Juice on the line in West Allis. Hi there.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I was wondering about the types of bacteria that you use in the making of the cheese and what they do for the flavor.
Okay, bacteria and cheese.
Sure. Yeah, so bacteria is also called starter culture. So if you've ever read the ingredients on your cheese package, it says usually 4 things. It says milk, bacteria, enzymes, and salt. At its face, cheese seems like a pretty simple product, right? But the starter culture, or the bacteria, is what determines the flavor of the cheese, what style of cheese it becomes. There are millions of types of starter cultures. So there are starter cultures for Swiss cheese. There are starter cultures for cheddar cheese. There are starter cultures for Gouda cheese. And there are actually what are called culture houses that sell these cultures. Cheesemakers buy them over the internet. They're shipped. They are measured very, very carefully and then added to the milk in the vat. And that is the very first process in cheesemaking.
Well, so those aren't made in-house in Wisconsin, those cultures.
Oh, gosh, no. Those are all coming, most of them are coming from Europe.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, Jeannie Carpenter is with us now, a specialty cheese buyer for Metcalf's Market and the founder of Wisconsin Cheese Originals, as we talk about the start of National Dairy Month and the prominence of dairy and cheese here in Wisconsin. And another caller here, Alex, is with us in Milwaukee. Hi, Alex.
Hi, how you doing?
Good, thanks.
Hey, I had a question about I heard that there's a report that we have like excess cheese in the market, and I wanted to know, what's it doing to the farmers? Is there concern for it? Does it drive down stock of cheese? If they do have stock in cheese, you know, are they producing less?
Got it, Alex. Yeah, we've been hearing about this as Alex brings up the cheese glut. Is there too much? Is there such a thing as too much cheese? Apparently there is, because we've been hearing this term, Alex, use cheese
so,
glut.
So I'm so glad that someone called in with this question. I'm going to defer to John Umhafers, who is the executive director of the Wisconsin Cheesemakers Association. He wrote a really excellent column on this subject about 3 weeks ago in the Cheese Market News. And what John pointed out is that the original media report that launched all these headlines that we see of a cheese glut was actually centered around one very obscure statistical fact. That fact is cold storage data for cheese. So the article compared March data year over year and found stocks at an all-time high, and then jumped to the very interesting conclusion that there was too much cheese in America. So we have to remember that America has made more cheese every year for the last 20 years. people are eating more cheese. So it's not going to be surprising that warehouse stocks are trending upward. I think what the missed story is right now is that we have really booming worldwide milk production and cheese production. And as a result, prices to pay to dairy farmers and cheesemakers are becoming a little depressed. Everything is cyclical. Things go up and down. Right now, we're in one of those down cycles. So we have a lot of farmers and cheesemakers kind of hanging on until we get to that cycle going upward.
And Jeannie, we're running short of time here, but we have a caller who we're not going to have time for, but wants to know whether there's still caraway cheese around. Do you still buy caraway cheese?
Yeah, there's Havarti with caraway. That's pretty common, both Danish and Wisconsin. And caraway seems to be one of those old-time flavors that people really like. They remember when they were little. It's gone out of fashion a little bit, but you can still find it.
And in our last minute here, can you tell us about cheese's significance in Wisconsin as a culture?
Oh, my gosh. So there's this thing that we wear on our heads at Packer games, right, called the cheese head.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, that started out maybe as kind of a slam against Wisconsin, but we've sort of really taken it on our own. And so the next time that you see one of those cheese heads, what I want you to remember is that it really represents Wisconsin makes more specialty cheese than any other state in the nation. Dairy means more to Wisconsin than citrus to Florida or potatoes to Idaho. And it's like a $43 billion industry in the state. So that's what those little foam cheese heads represent.
Jeannie, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me.
That is Jeannie Carpenter, specialty cheese buyer for Metcalf's Market, and she's the cheese buyer and also founder of Wisconsin Cheese Originals. You can tell us what your favorite cheese is. You can stop on over to the Central Time Facebook page and let us know. You're listening to Wisconsin Public Radio.